Hazrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated in one hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, Mafatul Jannah Shahadatun La ilaha illallah. Rawa Ahmad, narrated in Ahmad. So in the world, in the dunya, we have seen that to attain a reward, to attain something, or to get ajr, reward, definitely a person has to make effort. Effort to get reward or a treasure. When a person makes effort, then upon that effort that is made, a person is given ajr or a reward or some sort of payment, etc. This is the, you can say, principle of the dunya, of the world. There's a student who prepares for examinations, for tests. And the student works hard, makes effort, and at the end of the year, the exams come upon the student, and the student's prepared. And after revising properly and studying and analyzing, the student will sit the exams. And then the reward comes, the exam results come, and the student is given a reward, recognition. In the same way, on every maqam in life, in every aspect of life, let's say racing, athletics, running, sports, games, teams or individuals that win, they attain a reward, recognition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way, when the servants of Allah, the human beings, will return to their creator Allah, and those who will succeed in their exam, in the challenge or in the test, and Allah will pass them, give them the pass mark, then Allah will distribute rewards. So brothers, we have to make effort in this world. We have to make effort in this world, because this world, in reality, this is what this dunya is for us, the place to prepare, to revise. Here we will not get the rewards. We make the mistake of looking for and searching and hunting for the rewards in this world. This dunya is not the place of reward or treasures. This is the place for working hard to make effort. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise, that when a man makes effort and returns to me, then I will reward that person. I will reward that person. I will give the treasures to that person. And the form of reward Allah has mentioned to us. And what is that reward going to be? In the Akhirah, the hereafter, that person will be given paradise. And those people only will enter into paradise with whom Allah Ta'ala is pleased, Radha. And due to the Radha, Allah will, with his, from his grace and blessings, give the rewards to those people. Now, the point here is that what should we work hard on whilst living in this world? What should we make effort on? What's the actions that we should consider as worth making effort on? And then we work hard on those things. Because it may not be that we work hard on futile actions. And then when we're presented to Allah, Allah will say, these were futile things you worked upon, made effort on. The actions that I tell you to make effort on, you didn't do those things. You wasted your time. So this hadith that I recited right in the beginning, and presented it to your service, this is a very beautiful and beneficial hadith for us people. And in this is a very clear direction is given, that whatever we do, whatever effort we make, everything is based on one thing. We need to understand that point and consideration. There's something that we have to work hard mostly on this, and everything hinges on that one thing. And what is that one thing? The first point that has been mentioned here, taught to us, explained to us, is this, that shahadatan, to bear witness, to testify from the heart and from the tongue. From the tongue, not just a person, he affirms from the tongue, but he testifies from the heart and accepts from the heart. So the tongue testifies, but the heart bears witness and accepts and believes. And what is that that we have to testify on? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what we've been told in hadith. Mafatul Jannah Shahadatun La ilaha illallah. This one thing, our whole life revolves around this point. And the first stage, the first step, success will come from this first step of the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is the syllabus that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Simple syllabus. This is our everything. Success and failure hinges on this. And the first point about this kalima, shahada, that will take us to paradise, with which Allah, from which Allah will become pleased. The first stage of this kalima is shahada, testifying, to bear testimony, to affirm. The person who accepts this kalima believes in it, that definitely my everything is Allah, la ilaha illallah, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul, the Prophet of Allah, our Nabi, and we are the ummatis, the members of his ummah, nation. And this is the acceptance, and whoever accepts this will get near to paradise. Two groups, segments, those who reject and those who affirm, accept. Those who accept and affirm, they will travel towards paradise. So this is the first stage of the kalima, my brothers, is that without this kalima, there's no success. This is lazim, compulsory. And if a person claims that I am going to go to paradise without this kalima, the question doesn't arise. Simple. The question doesn't arise. So if we look at this first stage, then alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah, there's no tongue that can be grateful to Allah what is deserved and the right, that alhamdulillah, this kalima, as soon as we were born, Allah Ta'ala delivered this kalima shahada to our tongues, and we became aware of the deen, of this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We didn't have to work hard for it. We didn't have to give anything for this. We didn't have to make extra effort for this. Nor did we have to give up anything for this. Nothing at all. Allah Ta'ala has given us this kalima. Automatically we attained it on birth, most of us. And look how other people had to work hard. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, made effort, accepted this kalima. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivered this kalima, this belief to people. Let's read that history. Let's look at those stories, those events, and then let's look at ourselves and compare. Now, we don't even know when we became Muslims. We don't even remember. Automatic. That from birth, Allahu Akbar, Allah gave us this reward. So we should be extremely grateful. Or shouldn't we be? Or shouldn't we be grateful? Of course we should be. Allah is your karam, your mercy. We are so grateful to you that Allah, you could have put some other deen into our minds, or made us other people, or put us towards some other direction. No, Allah Ta'ala created us, and He made us born into Muslim families, and Allah Ta'ala put the ruh into us from the beginning of our lives. Allah's mercy and generosity, Allah Ta'ala gave us this massive thing of the iman into our hearts. Say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, because it's become so easy for us, isn't it? Now, what's the next stage of this kalima? So the same kalima, but this kalima will take a person to Jannah. Mafatihul Jannah. It will unlock the seal to paradise. So what's the next stage of? First is to testify, to state, to affirm, to believe. So Allah Ta'ala says, what is the work we have to do now? Is that the whole life of a person that's in front of that person has to revolve around this kalima, the statement of faith. And not one inch should we divert and digress away from this kalima. If we want the reward from Allah, if we don't want the reward, then fine, do what you want, enjoy yourself. Then that's our own deen, our own understanding, and our own life of so-called whatever we want to do. So Allah Ta'ala says, on top of stating this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, on top for any woman or man, sister or brother, automatically Allah Ta'ala has made us close to Jannah by instilling this kalima into our hearts, even at birth. So Allah has already given us half of the achievement, so the other half we need to achieve. Look, how long do we have to do this for? We don't know, somebody for 30 years, somebody's got 40 years of allotted life, somebody's got 50 years, somebody's got 70 years, somebody's got 80 years. And after 80 years, 30 years is in illness, and 20 years is in wasting time and in doing other activities. So every man has got a target, a preset amount of time. Allah Ta'ala has given us an allotted time. Allah says, in this time you have to live in the world and get married, and children will be born. You have to get them wedded off, and you have to get married yourself. Then you'll have granddaughters, grandsons, grandchildren. You have to bring them up, worry about them. You have to make your house and drive the car, and you have to meet your relatives and make your relatives happy, and you have to do accounting and work and employment and business. The whole life, whatever we have to do. But what's the point? Allah says, not one inch, 1 millimeter should you divert yourself away from this kalima in all of those activities. Do I have this fikr today? Do we have this fikr today? Let's be honest. Very difficult. Nobody has recognition. Nobody is aware. Look how mad we are. We're mad. Any man, any woman, any sister, any brother, nobody has this recognition. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that don't live in this world. Or Allah said, I'll give you life and all, I'll give you clothes and food and things to wear and attire. A verse of the Quran is revolving in my mind at this moment in time. Allah Ta'ala said that, I'll give you clothes, I'll give you food, I'll give you the resources you need, but the condition is that, how should your life be? Your life should progress. All the things I give you, the rules, I'll make you rich and wealthy and kingdoms and status, but La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Don't leave the circle, the boundary of deen, of this kalima. Not one hair's width should you go left or right of the deen. This is not the quality of a mu'min. And Allah says, if you do this, if you stay within that boundary, then see my rewards that will come. How long will it take? Allah says, you don't know when you're going to pass away. Allah says, do you know when I'm going to call you back? I could call you back very quick. Very quickly you will return to me, Allah says. Your file has already come to me. I just have to sign on the line. Don't think, oh, I'm not old yet, my beard's not white yet, I've not retired yet, etc. Allah says, no, this is not my system. This is not my system. Be ready all the time for departing from the world. How should we be ready? That we live our lives within the circle of this kalam. If you want a good life, a good death, and a good permanent life in the hereafter, live your life in the world within the circle of the kalam. From morning to night, night to morning. Consider that you, me, all of us are living in this circle. We shouldn't leave this circle of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And my whole life, whatever duty has given me, kids, no children, wealth, job, health, sickness, diseases, hospital, outside, shopping center, marketplace, wherever I'm in the world, Allah has given all of this. So this is the same circle that we have to live in. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What is this circle? The brothers, the circle of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah defines how we should live our life. Allah says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah means every order I will give to you. Allah says, every square millimeter of life I will guide you with full protection. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. I'm your wakeel. Let's see, understand this. You have nothing to worry about in life. Nothing. Allah says, I am your zamin. Food, drink, clothes, traveling, walking, sitting, walking, standing, sitting, wife, children, everything. Allah says, I am your kafil, your sponsor in the world. What a massive sponsor. Imagine this. Imagine how easy Allah has made our life. And how foolish we are. Allah says, I am your kafil. And we say, no, Allah, we'll do it ourselves. We don't want you as the kafil. Why? How? Because these are two opposite extremes. That when we come out of the kalima circle, say, no, it's me. I am the God. I am going to set my life definition. I am the Rabb. I am the Lord. I am the one who earns the food and the bread. I put the bread on the table. I've brought my children up. And so we've come out of the circle of the kalima. But when we stay in the circle of the kalima, we say, I am nothing. My job is just one. The Allah, you are my Rabb, my Lord. And everything else, you are running the affairs in the world. And I have no worry for these things. If this is not happening, doesn't matter. It's Allah's decision, Allah's choice. Oh, this happened. This problem occurred. That's Allah's choice. But don't consider it's you or me that's running the world or our lives. Allah says, don't follow your footsteps. Oh, if it's not happening like this, let me follow another methodology. Let's follow another opinion. No, totally not. Allah says, don't digress. Don't divert. Don't falter. If you remember me, if you accept me as the Rabb, the Razik, the Qadir, the Malik, do we believe? Because we've said, La ilaha illallah. So don't we believe in Allah? So then why do we go out of the circle of the kalima? Why do we try to escape? How foolish, how stupid is that person who is trying to come out of that circle. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? How will we attain paradise if we do this? For every single second of life, Allah Ta'ala says, O mankind, my servants, I've given you ahkams, orders, guidance, framework, kitab, standing, sitting, eating, drinking, walking, outside, business, transactions, everything, dialogue, social intercourse. Allah says, I've given you a tariqah, the method, and Allah says, I am the zamin, I am your protector, I am your wakil, I am your sponsor, and I will observe what's happening in the world. Allah says, I've given you rizq, wealth through a shop. Okay? Now, what's your job, oh man? That when you run that shop and do tijara and business, and buying, selling, and importing, exporting, etc., then what will happen? That you do according to Allah's guidance. Allah says, you do your business like this, buy the stock, put it into the shop, stand there, wait for the customers, and the laws and principles of business that I've given to you, Allah says, follow this. And if the turnover's coming or not, whether the shop's running or not, whether the turnover's great or it's low, you have no link with this. Who's in control of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, wherever you interfere with my principles and you break my rules and run your business, then you will lose, Allah says. Then you will lose. Is it easy? It's very easy. Let Allah. Allah says, if you don't get bread, food, chapatis, etc., and you sleep hungry, then fine. If the shop is running or not, you have no worries. Your job, buy the stock, run the shop correctly, proper principles, rules and correctness. But don't interfere. Allah says, I've given you children, mashallah. Now, Allah Ta'ala says, how to bring up the children? Oh, I've gone to another country. Okay, fine. The Allah Ta'ala says, my world. But what is the circle for the moment? The same circle. As soon as a person's born, give the adhan in the child's ear. And then as soon as the child's conscious, give the Quran in the hand of the child. When the child grows a bit further, older, then allow the Quran to be instilled into the heart of that child. The rest, food, drink, earning, I will prevail, it says, according to his taste, however he wants to earn through business or job, employment, whatever career path he wants. Allah says everyone's taste is different. Everybody's desire is different. If you force a child to become a doctor, I would never become a doctor. I would never become a doctor. If I was forced to become a doctor, do this, become this professional career, thousands of stories, events, and this, and trips, and journeys, and then I slipped back down. Nothing suited me, career-wise. What suited me? That I do dhikr of Allah. And this suited me, alhamdulillah, or suits a man. Yes, 40, 50 years, I'm so satisfied that alhamdulillah has given me a good career. Tore up all the degrees, all the professional jobs, and careers, everything put to the side. And the thing that Allah wanted to give me genuinely, the ruh, that this is your job in life. This is what I want you to do. And I took this, if I'd taken this from the beginning, but Allahu Akbar, that we came out of the circle, isn't it? So every insan, naturally that gives us traits and characteristics. And we see other people, oh, he's earning more doing this, let me do this as well. This happens, isn't it? Oh, he's doing that, I want to make my son do this. I want him to have this job, or this career, and we try to do this, and the child has different capacity and characteristics, and then we force the child down the wrong crack, and then the child rebels and doesn't become what we want them. Allah says, look, I know this person, this individual, this human, this makhluk, I want them to become like this. Don't force anybody. Everyone has their own taste. And if you force somebody, a child, to become something, no, I want you to do this, and the child doesn't want to do it, then eventually the failure will come, and you will not even imagine where the failure will come from, because we went against Allah's will, the path and the track of life. So what I'm saying is, the second stage of this kalima is that every mu'min, the life of a mu'min is within the circle of La ilaha illallah. We need to grab hold of Allah's ahkams, orders and rules, and live our lives according to this, because we've accepted Allah is our everything. Do we understand? That's a beautiful point. So if we do this, is there any loss in this? No. What a light life. What a very beautiful, tranquil life. But I don't know why we don't do this. Why don't we follow Allah Ta'ala's stages? So first stage, La ilaha illallah, to mention it by verbally. Secondly, to live our life in the circle of Islam, the kalima. The circle of the kalima. Thirdly, Allah says that, look, here is some advice. This will come in use to you, but you may make some excuses. So Allah Ta'ala said that my most beloved of creation, Allah Ta'ala, who is my beloved from the whole of mankind. I will have sent others, and I did. But the best who I sent last, I gave many kitabs, but I didn't give a kitab just like I gave to the Muslims. That's the greatest kitab, Allah Ta'ala says. And I gave you such a Nabi, the greatest. And I gave such a kitab that will very easily go into your hearts, and you will go quickly to the kitab for guidance. And on top of that, to amal, to practice this kitab, Allah Ta'ala said that it's so easy to practice the Quran that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will personally tell you how to practice the Quran, and he'll have 124,000 students, the Sahaba, and then have their companions and students, the Tabin, then their students, the Tabatabin, and then I'll send other people, Imam Malik, Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Hanbal, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah. So they made the understanding of the deen even easier. The great mujtahideen, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi. And even then, we're stupid if we don't understand the deen. And we say, where's it written? When we say to someone, do this, where's it written the woman must observe parda? Where's it written I have to pray salah? Where's it written I have to go to the masjid to pray salah? Where's it written? We don't understand kithe, where, how, when. Allah Ta'ala said so much detail I've given to you. So much explanation. But when we don't want to accept, we don't want to believe, oh, I'll try, okay. Oh, it's difficult, just do dua for me, brother, that I can start to pray. But what about your children? No, just try, inshallah, we'll try. You try, I'll try, you do dua, I'll do dua. Is this not the case today? We're foolish and stupid. How long? 10 years? 5 years? When we go back to Allah, what will be my hal? What will be my situation? What will be the solution? That will we have a link with the kalima? With the belief in Allah that we follow our own desires whenever we come? Look, Fajr, not here. Come to Dhuhr Salah when we feel like, come to Dhuhr. Asr, if we don't feel like, we won't go. We don't even come. Isha, oh, it's okay, I'll pray at home. Yani, we have no system. We have no link with the kalima. We have no link with the statement of faith. The link with the kalima is this, that Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, orders, we have to believe in these. Yes, this is the next stage of the kalima that's being taught to us, the physical implementation. Allah Ta'ala has explained to us himself that we haven't hit some bullseye, every arrow that we think we're practicing. Allah Ta'ala has brought, Allah says 5 times salah with jama'at. And that is in the afzal time, and the woman in the best time. This is the law Allah has made. Then Allah has given examples that how the Sahabah Kiram, they made effort for salah, how they went to pray salah. Isn't this example with us? Isn't it? That how they had love Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he used to pray salah. And the women, how they used to pray, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, what her salah was. And she was the beloved of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was so close, there's no example in the universe that she's the princess. And SubhanAllah, how a condition, her hardships at home, Allah Akbar, she didn't even have a sheet that she could wrap around her, that she could sit down on the prayer mat and pray and cover herself properly. In that condition, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave the example that even in that extreme difficult condition, she didn't leave salah. She didn't leave salah. She never left prayer. Such events. And today's Muslim women, small little problem, oh salah, oh I'll pray. And they leave the salah, they make it, oh my salah. And they've missed the time. It's Maghrib time. When they're praying Asr salah and Maghrib time, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because they don't have the link with the kalima. We don't have the connection. We're joking with the kalima. With the affirmation of faith, our home, outside, our inside. Show me, where do we have a link with the kalima, with the statement of faith that we've recited? Oh, I didn't recite it. Oh, with the fadl of Allah, we gave us this kalima without any struggle, without any effort, without any... What bullseye have we hit here? That other people do make more effort than us, those who revert to the deen, they have to leave things and make sacrifices. Ask a revert that how many sacrifices they've made in their lives. Their relatives, they all leave them. And Peter, John, and all the other names, they leave. Their uncles, aunties, they all desert them. And they're on their own. The revert to Islam is on his own, in the wilderness. And we, in front of them, we show that we're brave, that we are Muslims by birth, and we know more than you, and we're better. And rather, we're not even equivalent to the dust on the slipper of the revert, because he's had to give up everything, or she's had to give up everything. And I think there are two rewards for those. That one, that for example, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you two rewards. That they get the reward for that, they were in the Christianity before, and now they're coming to Islam. They made a sacrifice. Allah gave us free of charge Islam. What is our sacrifice? The morning till evening, that we will act opposite to the kalima. Oh, Allah Ta'ala said, don't do this. No. Why are you telling me? Oh, we're living in the free society. It's the free world. We're living in the new world. And after 3-4 days, they'll tell me, get out of the house. You're mad. Or get Babaji out of the house. He's talking too strict now. He keeps on pestering us, and he's too... fundamentalist. He lived his life nice, and he's now our turn has come, grow up, and we're young, we want to enjoy life, and he's telling us don't this. Is that what he's got to say to us? No, sis, that we can do what we want, isn't it? So they say, oh, get him out of the house. Send him to the old people's home and let him live there. Yeah? Granddad. The one sister, the other sister, mother, father, they're all split up. This is common in our society now. Why? Because we've come out of the circle of the kalima. We've come out of the circle. We've come out of that circle. So let's promise to ourselves that is total destruction upon loss, upon total wilderness and barren. When we leave the circle of the kalima, we go into total field of loss. I swear by Allah, nobody should see that my son, my daughter, my child is coming out of the circle of the kalima and is leaving the orders of Allah. Do du'as, cry, explain for the sake of Allah. Don't leave the circle of the deen. Our son-in-laws, our daughter-in-laws, our sons, our children, our home is totally useless. It's devoid of the kalima. And apart from that, we made big dramas and games from the deen. So many dramas that we cannot imagine. So many dramas we've made. Am I right or am I wrong? So this is a joke, isn't it? That, because I'm not a person who's sitting here explaining to you for nothing. I'm in my position, bad position myself. That look, we've read this hadith, I've read this hadith, I'm presenting to you whatever I understand. I'm sharing with you and I'm commentating on this. Going into the details. So Jannah, Allah Ta'ala has given to us free of charge. He's given us the kalima. So the second point is we have to live within the circle of the kalima. Okay, third. So what do we do with this guidance? That we, for example, if we get somebody, he says to us, yes, what is it? He says, then this place, buy this shop. He says, don't buy in this place. I've seen the shop. This is not a good area. Customers won't come and your money will be wasted. So your shop won't run. He says, is it? He said, yeah, I had a shop near to this and I bought the shop. If you buy here, you're going to loss. So don't buy here. Then we'll listen to him. We'll take the advice. So, oh, this man, he's got experience. He had a shop. He said, don't buy the shop here. It's a bad area and you'll get double-minded. And then you get the deposit, you'll take the deposit back. No. So I don't want to get stuck. Isn't it? So that's it, isn't it? So Rabbul Kareem now is guiding us. Subhanallah. That don't do this action. It will destroy you. You go to loss. But still we go towards that action. Don't say this. Don't do this. Still we go towards that loss. That this is the guidance that Allah Ta'ala has given, total and solid, via the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Two forms of guidance. Such great guidance. what a great guide Allah Ta'ala is, our guide, Allahu Akbar, supreme control of the universe. We can't even think that on every step, on every breath we are breathing, and Allah is telling us the way to live. Is there any deen or religion that gives us this guidance? Allah Ta'ala has even told us that how to go into the toilet, how to sit on the toilet, how to wash the private parts after fulfilling the call of nature and respond to the call of nature. If we look from scientific explanations today, there's so many illnesses and diseases emanating in a person's life if he doesn't wash his private parts properly after answering the call of nature. But Allah Ta'ala has taught us how to purify ourselves, that hundreds of thousands of illnesses are removed from the life due to this. So look at the guidance. Allah has given us guidance and He's secured us in this world and thereafter. Allah Ta'ala wants us to be healthy and nourished with vitality. Allah says, I've given you the job of cooking and then eating. How to cook, how to earn. Allah says, work hard and properly. Allah wants us to have good resources and assets. So if we stay within the circle of Islam, you'll see such people that 80 years, they stand at their shop and they work. They earn the lawful earnings. Isn't it? Yes. You know, Mulana Rahim Saab's Walid Saab, his father Saab, 70 years old, he used to, mashallah, run his shop because he was within the circle of Islam. The kalima. And mashallah, he used to pray salah in the masjid and do everything correctly. Mashallah. So brothers, this is the point. We need to understand that the guidance, we've got the kalima. Secondly, our whole life, our environment, society should be within the circle of the kalima. And how? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And Rasulullah's sunnah, his sharia, according to that, we should live our lives, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, traveling, everything. Everything. Interaction with society. And today, nobody knows how to do this. So many people don't know how to go to sleep, how to wake up in the morning, how to go to the toilet, how to answer the call of nature. We don't call this deen. We don't consider this deen. Allah has guided us A to Z. Every day today, in this society, 99% of jinns influence people when they enter into the toilet. 99% of arguments and quarrels in the home, I've seen this with my eyes, at that time they occur when a person without their adab and manners enters into the home, and those manners that Rasulullah ﷺ prescribed us to enter the home, we don't do, we have bad issues at home. And if we follow the guidance, then consider that 99.9% recurring, there'd be no divorces or fights or quarrels or problems in the houses, in families. If we enter the home according to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, when you go home, what mercy, what massive mercy, what massive guidance, that when you go home, enter into the home like this, the way I've guided you. Because when you go home, you don't see, but I see that with you, shaitans and jinn, they enter into the home before you get step into the house. But if you recite these kalamas and go into the house with this adab and say assalamu alaikum, then the shaitan and shayateen who wanted to go into your house with you that night, they melt there and then, they cannot enter into your home. This Ajiz Fakir has seen this. I tell you, I've seen this, witnessed this, that the shaitan cannot enter into the home with you. He cannot enter at the time that you utter that dua, then that shaitan melts. And if he comes in, then the storm has blown into you, and he comes and eats with you when you're sleeping with the wife at home. And when you are interacting with the wife in the night, and then the children who are born, they have the traits of shaitan and characteristics, because we didn't listen to the words. We went out of the circle of Islam and we think it's a minor thing. We whistle and go in and shout. We swear while entering into the house and cursing someone else. And we walk into the house, no dua, no prayer. And then we start arguing and fighting and quarreling and issues come in. Such a big guidance and framework and protection. So let's promise to from today, according to the sunnah, we will learn the sunnah tariqah. We will learn, isn't it? This is deen, isn't it? And if we learn this, then in the hereafter, every man will rise as an alim, as a scholar. It's not necessary, no certificate will you be asked on the day of judgment, bring the certificate from the Darul Ulum Institution. No, Allah said he learned ilm. He learned the sunnah of Rasulullah. He learned how to sleep. He learned how to eat. He ate in this way. She entered home in this way. And this is an alim due to amal, due to practice. He will stand as an amil of amal. The scholar of practice, take one book of the sunnah which tells us to eat, how to sleep, how to wear clothes. And whenever we get up in the morning, maybe you don't remember all these things. When you go to sleep, you have the kitab. Ah, yeah, this is how I have to sleep. You read the dua. When you take off clothes, what is the dua? When you live in the life during the day, what is the way? And if you take the clothes off in the way of the sunnah and recite the dua, Allah says, I open the doors of paradise for you. All your sins are removed and forgiven. So does anyone know the dua? Do we know the tariqah? How to cut the nails? Tell me. How do we do this? Tell me. So eventually we will see that how, what amal we leave, and we have wasted our lives. We could cut the nails like this and this way, different ways, and the tariqah, the method the Prophet ﷺ told us, not but we should cut our nails in that way, following the sunnah. Beautiful kitabs of the sunnah, eating, standing, wearing, etc. This is ilm. This is knowledge. And this alam, then if we teach our children, then you will become the alim of amal, and you will stand as the alim, the scholar in the hereafter, because you will be the scholar based on practice. If you take all of the hadith, yes, that how to learn, how to do wear libas, attire, how to do wudu, Bukhari, the old hadith collections are all explanations of how to follow the sunnah. And the ulama kram, the scholars, this is the deen. What other knowledge is there about Islam? Tell me. Is there any other knowledge? Some hidden secret knowledge? What is the meaning of ilm? Ilm, knowledge means that the ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we follow his footsteps and his ways and his methods. And then by doing that, we'll stay in the circle of Islam and we'll become alim. Scholars. And if you become an alim in your old age, then what else do we need? Nobody knows. He's got this, he's got this much, he's cutting nails from this way, and we keep on playing games with the deen. Look, let's come into the circle of Islam. What's the way? What's the way of doing this? If I don't keep it, and if I do keep it, if how long should it be? How? What's the limit? And how do I put the color on, etc.? Everything's been explained, but we don't want to look at the guidance of the sunnah. We're following our ways. Someone keeps it this way, this fashion, this style, and we say it's a bid. That nobody explains to us how to do it. Nobody wants to tell, explain, or doesn't know how to explain. We don't know about our own selves. How should I keep these hairs? How should I cut the hairs? How do I make this? And the moustache, etc. We don't even know the practical way. Someone's got a whole hair or a line hair, wearing this hair or that hair. We have no knowledge of that subject, of these subjects. Physical practice of life. And what insan have we become? And what are we? We say we are the people who got the kalima free of charge, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasul, at the time of birth. So never will they enter into paradise. No one can enter into paradise unless we live our life within the circle of Islam. Open our eyes and ears and listen and understand. Not this that we've taken one practice. I've got ibadah, worship, and I'm worshipping so much and I'm successful. No, the whole life, A to Z, has to be within the circle of Islam. And when we understand this point, and we wasted our previous life, and we've got 30 years left. Allah says, I'll give you 50 years. You've passed 30 years. How many years left? 20. Now, if these 20 years, if I understand in the last 20 years of my life, I go to a majlis gathering and understand the reason of life and how to live my life, then Allah says, I will include your previous 30 years into the latter 20. Allah, the reward. Subhanallah. So this is from hadith, Allah Ta'ala's kitab. And when I open and I read the hadith, I read and it goes tuck, the message comes on the heart. Then I say, let's speak about this today, subhanallah. And then the coolness comes onto the heart, the message comes to the heart that we need to discuss this point today. And then I start speaking. Many people say, the Hazrat Sahib was telling us this discussion, this majlis was for me. I say, no, some people start quarreling, the poor souls, that you are telling me, you're telling me off, I didn't do this action, you were speaking to me, and they start complaining, and you spoke to me, but this is not the case. This is not even in my head. Everyone's getting islah. Someone's getting good news, somebody's getting scolded, somebody's been told off, somebody's been told you're different, you've mistaken, and everyone should understand that this is for me. This is for me, and I am for everybody. Alhamdulillah, I am here for everybody. I've come with a message for everybody who understands, accepts, and tomorrow this gathering will ask us. The rites of this gathering will be recited to us. And I know that our majlis sometimes get a bit long, but so what if it gets a bit long, the discussion? What are we going to lose? We are sat in Allah's home, we're doing dhikr of Allah, we're discussing if the bayan is a bit longer than usual, then at least we are getting further away from hellfire and sitting closer to paradise, isn't it? Isn't it good? Tomorrow you'll be thankful to me. I'll say that, 3 hours, let's make the gathering 3 hours. 2 hours is not enough. We need a third hour. Then you'll remember me that where do we get this time from? I swear by Allah, who in this day and age, has the time to sit for 2 hours? We look at each other and we speak about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Show me, who has the time for this nowadays? Tell me, who? Where do you get these things from? Where will these ni'mas come from? Today in this materialistic world, I was thinking, Allah, you're so merciful, so gracious to us. Your dhikr is so great, so fantastic, that through your dhikr, me, I used to think, that when I was given hukum, the instruction by my teacher, I thought, Allah, how will I go there and sit? And how will people sit with me? And how will we do dhikr in that country? No one's got time to sit with me. My sheikh is telling me, go and teach dhikr in that country. This is a weird thing. How will I do this? That today in the morning, the thought came to my mind and I cried so much that Jamaat came and I was speaking with them. That Allah kamal, Allah your mercy, that in the morning time from Fajr until Ishraq, sunrise, that how people, they are reciting your name and doing your dhikr with passion in this country. Businessmen, people of shops, and I'm looking at the watch, someone that 5 minutes, 2 minutes before, if we go to the shop and open up, what they're doing, they're after praying Fajr. In other words, such an ibadah, they're doing such an act of worship that the people of the world think it's a waste of time, but in Allah's eyes, it's the greatest and most accepted worship. Can anyone think that we could do this because we've started doing this and we take it for granted? We don't consider this actually as anything. But I swear by Allah, when other people see this, who come from the outside, their eyes open wide. Huh? What people are these? How long they're sitting in the masjid after Fajr? Have you seen people running away? Most people run away. And they scarper from here, left, right, this door. They leave the majlis, dhikr, and they leave the masjid. Now, subhanAllah. So few people, and the rest who are happy and are fortunate, they're sitting and they go, okay, no problem, I'll close my eyes and do muraqbah on the heart. And I see the 40, 50 men. And then if we count the how many people are doing, then every day the review is 300, 400 people outside, away from the majlis, they've joined into the gathering, they're doing dhikr. What greatness of the gathering of dhikr and Allah's greatness. So what we realize here is that if a person wakes up consciously, then the mercies of Allah's rain into that person's life. And this is not the excuse of country, and that nobody says anything to us. This is, mashallah, a free country, great country. They're not going to say, no one's going to say anything to us that don't do dhikr or don't go to the masjid. It's a peaceful, Islam is a peaceful religion, and everybody knows this. Islam doesn't pain anybody, and we don't pain anyone. Great deens, and what beautiful houses of Allah we've got. And they're empty, barren in the morning. They're like wilderness, beautiful masjids that have been constructed, and they are empty until Ishraq sunrise. No one's there to remember Allah. What can I say to you? A G point, let me tell you, but leave it. So anyway, so Allah Ta'ala speaks. This is a khanqah in Bradford, and some people sat down, and nobody used to come there until Ishraq sunrise. And a few brothers used to sit and do dhikr. Then once one person was sitting in itikaf, and he saw that from all four corners of the masjid, he heard the noise of the tasbih. You know, like we do Allah, Allah with the tasbih. And he was shocked. He phoned me. He said, Hazrat, that these, I can hear the voice, the noise of the tasbih from all four corners of the masjid. Allah, 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 Allah. I said, you don't do dhikr, so Allah sent the angels to do dhikr. That this is Allah's house. Will Allah leave it empty? No. So that he used to hear the tasbih noise. Be quiet, don't disturb them. You just sit down, and you know, there's no pain to you, you're not losing. Let them do dhikr, whoever's there, they're doing dhikr of Allah. So the masjid, the house of Allah, is not empty, but we animals, we leave the masjid, the house of Allah. But Allah Ta'ala fills the spaces with his angels, makhluk, jinnat, pious jinns, and angels. And they take tasbih and they start doing dhikr. Other people have heard dhikr. The whole masjid, mashallah, reverberating with the name of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. And the khanqah is made for dhikr. How will Allah leave that place empty of his dhikr? No way. No way. So my brothers, this is nur, light. In that house where dhikr is done, the creation in the heavens, they see those homes as glowing and sparkling, shining. Do dhikr in your homes. Give invitation, and I will come and do dhikr in your homes. Inshallah, we'll do maraqbat. Do dhikr in the heart. So don't start pulling me on me now. Don't start pulling on me now. So it's a big fadl and grace of Allah in your house if there's a maraqba. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, it happens in your house. SubhanAllah, imagine that house, all the jinnat and that, they will, all the impurities and evil will run away from your house. The whole of the creation in heavens and earth, the dhikr. But the problem is with us, that this is our way that, you know, we go to do maraqba and dhikr, then food and pilau rice, etc. Okay, fine. Then just eat and drink and leave the dhikr. That, for example, just eat food and just worry about food and the stomachs. So this is a very big name of Allah, his dhikr. So at home, sit down, do dhikr, explain to your children, do maraqbah, maraqabat. Oh, amazing maraqbah, dhikr, silent dhikr of the heart. I can say to you clearly with guarantee, there's no action that can compare. I will go into detail of what is the maraqbah, dhikr of the heart. The previous night, I had beautiful thinking about silent dhikr of the heart, and I will explain this to you in detail of what is this action. So great fadl of Allah, my brothers, that when I saw, when I thought, that what's happening? That this jamaat, and not even one person. Where's everyone gone? In Bolton, 40, 50, 60 men, they're sitting, they bow their heads, they remember Allah, do dhikr of Allah till sunrise, and then they go and do their work. Is this a small thing? This is a massive achievement, massive action. Nothing is difficult. If we promise today that Allah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul, the circle of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul, we will stay our lives within the circle. Whenever we take guidance, we'll take from the Quran and the Sharia. Muttaqi, totally muttaqi insan, individual, that person will become the biggest alim, scholar, the biggest zuhud, zahid and abid and siddiq. After Nabiin, all the darajat, after the prophets, from the human beings, from the sahaba onwards, the person, the man or woman who follows this guidance framework will get to the heights of iman. So the second stage is amal. We've spoken about that. So what we're saying? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul, isn't it? We spoke about this. Mafatihul Jannah. What a big point in this hadith. So the third stage. So first was statement, verbal kalima. Second, physical implementation of the kalima. So now the third thing is, what's stopping us? We have to fight against the evil forces that are stopping us practicing our deen, which are our base desires, the nafs, and shaitan, the devil. So these are the invisible forces that go against us. They stop us practicing the beautiful, peaceful Islam. So nafs and shaitan, your satyr, you'll leave the mosque and then shaitan and nafs will start injecting you. This ain't necessary. You don't need to do this. How can this be? This isn't fard. This isn't kabbal. So you said do this. You don't have to do this. This visitor, this is all right. Leave this. And they'll take us out of that circle. The desires and shaitan. So today, why are we on the frozen blocks? Why have we come out of the freeze? Why are we on the freeze blocks? Why don't we practice within the circle? We don't practice halal. We don't accept haram as haram. Shaitan and nafs keeps us in control in doing the wrong. And they don't allow us to come within the circle of la ilaha illallah. And this is our fight with shaitan and nafs. We can't see shaitan. Shaitan is inside us, in our veins. And one shaitan, as soon as we're born, shaitan is with us. There's some shaitan that when a person dies, but shaitan, his age is greater, so they stay at the grave of that person, sat there, until he doesn't die or get punished. One shaitan is totally with us all the time. As soon as we're born, that shaitan, it's stuck, it dares to that person. Always he's trying to give negative influence to the human being's life. This is our life. Tell me that what a big enemy we have, the shaitan, devil, and our nafs desires. And we want to practice deen of Islam. It's not easy, is it? Allah will give a big reward on the day of Hashr, on the day of resurrection, the Anbiya, prophets, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, and the head of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be there. And he will say, I'm giving reward to this man. Subhanallah, is this a small thing? Is this a small thing? My brother, this is a big, big achievement. So shaitan and nafs are with us. There's one shaitan totally there. He's put the chains and the shackles around us. He's saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave. What do we do now? So this is the thing that drags us towards hellfire. This is the insan that takes us out of the circle of the Quran and the deen and stops a person, man or woman, from practicing. But Allah says the cure is in this kalima. The cure is to oppose shaitan and nafs. Allah says you can oppose. Allah says I've prepared for you totally. What is that cure? Allah says in this kalima, dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. Keep on reciting, keep on doing dhikr. My dhikr Allah says, then shaitan and you will keep on opposing them and fighting them and you'll be successful as long as you do dhikr in abundance. Because shaitan, he will abundantly come to you to distract you. So the cure to fight off shaitan is abundant dhikr. And when as long as you're doing dhikr abundantly, remembering Allah, inshallah, you will succeed over shaitan in this world and the hereafter. Now, what is our job? We have now reached a stage one, verbal statement of deen. Stage two, circle of Islam. La ilaha illallah. Third stage, of those people are successful who understand this third point, that to save ourselves from shaitan and the nafs and to come back into the circle of the kalima is to do dhikr of Allah in abundance. Those people who grab hold of the practice of dhikr of Allah, they have crossed the peaks and succeeded. Why? Because with Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah has given such rewards, such forces that come to the help of a human being. Spiritually, angels descend from the heavens, they destroy shaitan, they kill off shaitan. But the problem now we have is that people have left the dhikr of Allah. We don't listen, we don't accept, we don't understand. We had one cure to stay within the circle of the kalima of the deen, and even that action, that cure, has been eliminated from our lives. So shaitan has totally taken over. Oh no, I don't have time. Why do we have to do this? I'm happy with my deen. I don't need to do dhikr. I'm doing other things. Do the work of the deen. Spread the deen. But look at the asal, genuine article practice that we need to do. Am I in the circle of the kalima? Am I? What do I need to do to come back into that circle or to be in that circle? If there's no dhikr, we can never realize what sin is there, what sin am I doing, I'm not doing a sin. Nobody knows. He's totally unaware. Let's take one sin. And dhikr of Allah revives the awareness of that sin, because with dhikr comes nur, light in the heart. And due to that dhikr, Allah Ta'ala creates nur, a light. And that nur, what does it do? It definitely impregnates or permeates into a person's heart. And when you do dhikr, it will teach us what's halal, what's haram. What do we need to do? What do we need to leave? And you become aware and conscious, a sense develops within us that we will accept and be aware of what we need to do in our life. And when a wrong action comes, then we will feel unhappy. Oh no, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. And where does this come from? Dhikr of Allah. Then that person understands that he starts to try to leave the action, and then he does dhikr to get more help. So that's why I stated, do so much dhikr, so much dhikr, so much dhikr, that until the time of your death, keep on doing dhikr from your tongue and heart. Such a great ibadah. And people say, don't do it. Totally don't mention the name dhikr, na'udhu billah, in the masjid today. Then purify the masjid from the action of dhikr and kill off the roots of dhikr. We say today, astaghfirullah. Is this not happened today? And they're so happy, the people who say this. Oh, I've achieved something big. This dhikr is running too much in the mosque now. Let's get rid of it out of the masjid. Astaghfirullah. And when the veils are removed, then we'll see the adab for going against Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. We are creating enmity with the dhikr of Allah, Na'udhu billah. And these are such great pearls of advice that this is the message of the prophets. That everything I've told you today, is this about enmity groups? But we say purify the masjid, empty the masjid. One brother said, get the root of the dhikr out of this masjid. Quran, not the dhikr of Allah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka. Where these verses, he says, take the Quran out. Don't read the Quran. Nobody should read the Quran in the masjid. This is Quran we're reciting, isn't it? Am I reciting the Gita? Tell me, this is Quran. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallah. Show me which kalima is away from the Quran. Is this dhikr not the Quran? And we say, get the dhikr out of the masjid. That's the Quran. There's any other greater name than Allah? When you close your eyes and say Allah, is there any greater statement than this? Allah's personal name? Tell me. So when such a group of people, when such a nation of people come who hate dhikr or go against dhikr, then will azab not come from Allah? Will punishment not come, my friends? They will, won't they? So don't worry, inshallah. Have courage, determination, make effort, correct your lives. If you are correct, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah mercy, then the towns upon the towns will start to be corrected. Allah is rahim merciful. If there's one person, a dhakir in a town, Allah says, mashallah, the dhakir has come, so let me forgive this town, village, and due to the sadqa of the dhakir, everyone else comes into the right path. Go to the masjids where people don't do dhikr, beg there, start doing dhikr wala, and even if the opposition comes from all four corners, be steadfast. One angel descends from the heavens, then he brings hundreds of thousands, millions of rahmah's mercies, noor. So when so many angels come down from the skies, that the gap between the heavens and the earth is full of the angels, there's no space left, then tell me the condition of that town. So how much rahmah and mercy of Allah is descending, and this is due to you, the dhakirin who remember Allah, is due to you, your presence. So important is the action of dhikr, by which Allah Ta'ala says this will end, that the person who does dhikr of Allah, he is then that person who stays within the circle of the kalima of Islam. He will never leave that circle. Allah gives a guarantee to the dhakir, to the one who remembers Allah, that you will have success upon success upon success. How? This hadith tells us, Mafatihul Jannah. What is it stated? That if you want to unlock, Mafatih is not the key, the keys to paradise. That when a person starts to do the dhikr of Allah, then he, that human being, becomes what? He, forget about entering to paradise, he becomes the keys to paradise locks. Whatever paradise he wants, he can go to that, any paradise. There are many levels. Many levels. So this is the dhikr of Allah, great action. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Mafatihul Jannah. The keys to unlock the paradise. So is this a small thing? The action, dhikr of Allah, tell me. We don't know about morning dhikr or evening dhikr or day dhikr or no maraqbat, nothing. So my brothers, if we want to go into paradise and thereafter, and we want to get the rewards today, and our objective is that all lifelong, this is our objective, my friends. Why? That this world, that this is a place, as I said, we come to revise third class, illness, problems, fighting, quarreling, disputes, no food, no bread. And this is how we should live the life, isn't it? Everyone, we all, are we living the life like this? Tell me. Even the king, I sat down, he's got problems. This country is mine, I've lost this. This minister's run off, this spy, politics. Everyone's got their problems. We look at them, we think they're so great. When you go to their life and sit with them, they're banging their heads in the night. Every man is distressed and has issues in the world. So now we need to think, does it make sense that this life, should we stay with worries in this world, and then when we go to the hereafter, we have more worries? At least if we've got issues and worries here, then at least let's make a life that straight away we enter into paradise in the hereafter. Subhanallah, end of story. But we've got worries here and we want worries there. That's permanent, forever life. Okay, here, at least there's some assistance that if we do something fine, the time will pass with difficulty. But there, forever, look, 50, 60, 70 years, 30, 40 years, how much life we've got. Tell me, right, is there a guarantee that have we had a second in life that we've got supreme enjoyment? And here, every enjoyment is for a few seconds. From morning, I want halwa, we're cooking and with butter and this, and halwa's being made. When it's made, the sweet comes in 3 minutes. It takes us to eat. It goes on the tongue, taste buds, disappears. Then wait for going to the toilet. What a system of life, huh? We enjoy the food and then he has to come out of the toilet. I saw a man doing shopping. He came, in one hand he had toilet roll, and in the hand he had the bread, etc. I said, Subhanallah, that you've prepared for your food and how to extract the food. And I was looking at him. I kept looking at him. One hand food and the other hand toilet roll. I said, Allah, he's preparing for both ends. Both things. So here he's cooking for the halwa and then he's buying the toilet roll so that when it comes out, naturally, call of nature, then he has to cope with that as well. So this is the reflection of life, the summary of life, the truthness of the world is being told in front of us. This is what you are. This is the life you're going to live, and in this vicious cycle you will spend the rest of your life. And this is life. Every path of life, everything that's of enjoyment is for a few seconds, 2 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. And to increase that, we try so much, but it doesn't increase. Enjoyment is for a few seconds, end of enjoyment. That's it, cold, totally cool. And hereafter, everything, subhanAllah. Where we have to go. We are wasting that life. Thereafter, that speak about enjoyment, that when you go to thereafter, Allah says, enjoyment will stay forever, and how it comes, it will stay forever. Inshallah, I will speak about maraqabah, and that what is the enjoyment of Jannah, Paradise, and how we will attain these things. Remind me, and inshallah, you will say, subhanAllah, the dhakirin, that what action we are carrying out, what Allah Ta'ala is making us do. A beautiful way, I will explain the rewards of dhikr and silent dhikr and maraqabah in the heart. Remember this, inshallah, if I remember, in the next majlis, not the next one, a better one, on a Thursday night, inshallah. Friday night, so that more people can hear. So now, slowly, slowly, someone's coming from here, someone's coming in the evening, morning, Haji Sahib, me, we're sitting just looking at each other. They say, who's this? Oh, he's come to do dhikr. Oh, servants of Allah. Oh, people of Allah, the benefits I've told you about dhikr, that does it make sense that we leave? Haji Sahib, does it make sense that we don't do dhikr? Someone's coming first, late, someone's coming after, oh, we're going to dhikr, late. Is this how we go to dhikr? The Shaykh's words, we don't want to listen to the Shaykh's words. That we think they're too long and drawn out and time is being wasted. In such words, you will never achieve, never receive. I guarantee you will never hear anything like this. I guarantee. Guarantee. The words we discussed today, so many precious pearls have come out of these words. So dhikr that I'm telling you, that we get such bad vibes and influence that we don't know that when we're leaving dhikr, the sins are around us. That a dhakir, a person who's not dhakir, he doesn't know, is he doing a sin or not? I'll tell you about sin. That who is saved from backbiting? Backbiting. Yes, apart from the dhakir who remembers Allah, he is aware that this is a sin, backbiting. For example, are you making effort on this? On backbiting, even this is sadaqah. These words that I'm telling you, even these are sadaqah. Otherwise in the world, nobody is aware of backbiting. What is ghibah and what is the punishment for ghibah? Backbiting the akhirah and hereafter, the person who backbites and dies, individual who backbites against another person, then his face will be on his back. And that person, he will be, who will go first into hellfire. First. And this sin will not be forgiven until that time, such a time that the person you backbited against, that he himself should forgive you in this world. Then tell me today how common is backbiting? One. And after that, how severe is the solution to get forgiveness? How many people ask for forgiveness? So seldom. Few. And how many people are leaving this world with the plot of backbiting hajjis and so-called learned people, because they're not in the circle of the kalima, because we don't do dhikr. And when a person does dhikr, the nur, the light comes in his heart, then he understands or she understands. Inshallah, then he eliminates ghibah and backbiting from the life. The backbiting comes out. Tell me, the person who doesn't do dhikr, take backbiting out of his life, I'll give you the house, because I've only got my house and nothing else. Without dhikr, show me, demonstrate to me that you can leave ghibah. Nobody can. I'll tell you with conviction. Nobody can. So, forgiveness for backbiting. To overcome that hurdle, we need to get the forgiveness in this. That one of the companions, radiyallahu anhu, narrated about backbiting, a great companion. He said, let me tell you about backbiting. And he said this point in this way, I've read this somewhere. He said that backbiting, the person who backbites, even if he does tawbah, then he will go into paradise last. And if he dies without tawbah, then first he will go into the hellfire. So tell me, where will me and you go? Which prayer will save me? Which hajj? Which action? Tell me. What will save us? Nothing. What thing will save us? When we have an understanding and awareness in the nur, and we will stop that sin here. And I'll tell you an easy way to do tawbah from backbiting. When we become aware and we accept that this is a sin, and every second we stay alert, I shouldn't sin. And how is that? One way, one tariqah is that ask forgiveness from that person who we backbited against. Go and beg him. Otherwise, let's be ready for the hisab, that our mouth, face will be on our back. And everyone, the person called us Hazrat Sahib, Peer Sahib, great person, etc. They will see with their eyes that my face will be on my back that day. That's the biggest adab, that I'll be exposed in front of the people. Exposed. So how should we absolve ourselves from this sin and get the forgiveness for backbiting? From hadith, I'll explain to you that if you've backbited against someone, of me in a rush, I backbited, we can't, because we're human beings and shaitan's with us. So what happens? What should we do? Soon as I've backbited, straight away ask Allah for forgiveness. Straight away ask Allah. And if that time you straight away ask Allah for forgiveness, then you don't have to go to that man straight away. Allah Ta'ala will forgive then, there and then, inshallah.
You don't have to ask for forgiveness from that other person. You backbite because let's give him a solution. And only that person will have the awareness. Who? Who does the dhikr of Allah. The Allah, I just backbited. Allah, forgive me. Because all of us do that sin, isn't it? But the dhakir, he will have the awareness. Oh, what did I just say? Oh, I said the right thing, didn't I? He is like this, isn't it? What difference does it make? No. Oh, go and tell him if you want. But he doesn't have the awareness, the non-dhakir. But the dhakir, due to the light of dhikr, so what did I just say from my mouth? Straight away, Allah, astaghfirullah, rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Allah, forgive me. Allah, ta'ala, forgive me. Difference is there, isn't it? Big difference. So all of you are dhakirin, you do dhikr. I'm just empty box, I don't do dhikr. And you, mashallah, will have felt that the sins you did before, and now you've got awareness of sin, isn't it? Isn't it the case? So that's the situation. So dhikr is a great action. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, Fatihul Jannah, that the keys to paradise is due to dhikr of La ilaha illallah. Allah's remembrance will open up all the doors of paradise. This is such a powerful action. Remember, do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. Allah says, remember me. And then Jannah is waiting for you. This life is for a few days. Spend it properly, correctly. Inshallah, we should all try, isn't it, my brothers? Yes, I will, as you as well. That our life should be within the circle of what? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And to stay within the circle of the kalima, what do we need to do? What do we need to oppose? We need to do dhikr of Allah and oppose shaitan and nafs. Not this just morning or evening. Every second of the day you're doing dhikr. Every second was maraqabah, the remembrance of Allah in the heart. What is the tariqah? What do we need to do? That this is the main dhikr on Naqshbandi. Listen carefully. The kalamats we recite in dhikr. This is not our main dhikr. This is ithali thawab. Our main dhikr is maraqabah, silent dhikr in the heart. So the person who has not learnt it, learn it now. As quick as possible. This is what I've come here to teach. That, you know, I'm going around to different masjids. I come to teach the dhikr of the heart. This is my duty, that I instill the name of Allah Ta'ala's name into the heart, onto the hearts of people that do dhikr like this. And this is the methodology. This is the course or the prescription. Why do we waste time? So today if we're ashamed, then tomorrow what will happen? That we'll be ashamed, we'll be naked on the day of judgment in front of everybody. Today if we're ashamed to come into the court of Allah, then at least we'll improve. At least we'll improve. What is there to be ashamed about of learning? So give targhib to people that go, why don't you learn dhikr? That if by you advising someone and somebody comes and asks for dhikr and learning, then you will get all the reward on the day of judgment. When you see someone who's nervous, he wants to learn dhikr, and he's ashamed a bit, nervous, then give the encouragement. Go and learn. You don't need to be ashamed or be nervous. Like in Masjid Aisha, I called those both people that now they will remember for their whole lives, inshallah, Hazrat Sahib said this. Their lives have changed, improved. They were ashamed. They were nervous. But their nervousness, they wanted to learn, but they were a little bit ashamed. I said, no problem. They're Muslim brothers. We drag them here and give the dhikr with the finger. Their heart was alive. Qalb, the heart was alive. They started doing dhikr and their lives improved for the better. From here, they went here. From the left to the right. From bad to worse. From bad to good. So give targhib, everyone. Give the methodology. Invite. We are the same. We learn dhikr the same way as you are going to learn. So come to the deen. Do dhikr like this. Because to do dhikr in abundance and always every second, not just morning, then evening, we do maraqbah. No. This is practice. You know what we do? This is like a sort of assistance, a driver, a taste. The asal thing is to do dhikr in the heart all the time, hours on end, from morning till evening. The heart should be doing dhikr of Allah. So this is the tariqah when we do maraqbah, when we do silent dhikr in the heart. So we should think, make proper niyyah, proper intention, that Allah's rahmah, the nur of Allah's mercy is coming into my heart. Say it, everyone. Allah's nur of His rahmah, the mercy of Allah, the nur, the light of the mercy of Allah is coming into my heart, and my heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. And this should just keep on going in our minds, that Allah's, the nur of Allah's mercy, the light of Allah's mercy is coming to my heart, and my heart is doing Allah, Allah. And if you keep on thinking this and keep saying this, then your heart will keep on doing Allah, 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 Allah. And this fikr will keep on revolving in your mind, that Allah, the nur of your rahmah is coming into my heart, and my heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. You'll become so regular in this that when you're speaking to someone, this feeling and emotion will keep on revolving in your mind, and you keep on doing the dhikr of your heart, and the nur will come into your life, that you will, with the fadl of Allah, see everything with the nur. Remember my words, what I'm saying. So always in our minds should be this revolving. Have you learned this by heart or you haven't? Allah, the nur of your mercy, the nur of your rahmah is coming into my heart, and my heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. So when you keep on saying this and then you'll keep on doing dhikr of the heart, then alhamdulillah, your heart will keep on beating to the name of Allah. So that's it. Make this lesson, memorize this, that Allah, the nur of your rahmah is coming in my heart, and my heart is doing Allah, Allah. And when you sit in maraqbah, you keep on reciting this in your mind, and then you won't feel sleepy, and you'll stay alert all the time, that Allah, the nur of your rahmah is coming into my heart, and my heart is saying Allah, Allah. Allah, my heart is saying Allah, Allah. Allah, my heart is saying Allah. And you'll enjoy it so much that you'll feel so good at that time. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, the words we've discussed today, that we can do amal on this. Nothing is hard, nothing is difficult. Allah Ta'ala makes everything easy. We need to make a solid intention that our lives we will spend according to Sharia and Sunnah. And inshallah, the restrictions that come, the obstacles, hurdles, that we will eliminate them via the dhikr of Allah. And in every condition, we will please Allah, inshallah, recite Durood Sharif.